We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, this is the moment you've all been waiting for.
Hey, gentlemen, show and Clinton show. I love your show. You guys are great.
And I've been listening to 610 since back in the 80s. This is the best combination for afternoon drive time sports radio I've ever heard. Show, Clint, you guys got it going on, man. I really appreciate your show.
Oh, show, Clint, I love the show, man.
You guys are by far my favorite show to listen to.
I love what y'all do. I'm in love with the show, man.
Thank you guys for bringing us a first-class sports show to the city.
I love you guys. You guys are amazing, man.
Listen to the show. Really like what you guys are doing.
What's up, Clint? How y'all doing, man?
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, let's do it, boys. Reaction Monday presented by Tarasco's. Again, we are here to react to what feels like a lot of the same, Clint, as the Texans were in a game. Hey, at least they're not blowouts, right? They're in a game, on the road. You felt like, all right, they got a chance to win, and they come up short with mistakes.
Stop being a dumpster fire.
So that's the one thing, to follow the footsteps of Lovey. Hey, let's talk about a little positive. Let's talk about a little positive.
How about a positive from yesterday?
That's a positive. I got you, Lovey. All right. Hey, you're not getting blown out like you were in some games last year.
How about a positive from yesterday?
We'll see if that continues after next week. But you're not getting blown out with the game. So you're in games into the fourth quarter, into the final minutes, but you still lose because you get outscored now 30-0.
Wow, dude.
In the fourth quarter this year in three games. 30-0.
Yeah, it's not good.
But there is so much, Clint, so much that happened in this game that I'm sorry, Lovey, that were some negatives. But there is one thing that I think all three of us can agree on. One thing that jumps out the most, Clint. I'll let you tell it. Tell the people that one thing that jumps out the most.
Let me eliminate a couple of topics. It's not the fact that the defense gave up 280 rushing to a backup running back.
Not good.
It's not the fact that the quarterback once again threw two interceptions in critical moments, really just ultimately did not play well and did not produce in critical moments in a game, and you're trying to evaluate him. It's neither one of those. 0 for 2. I know there's a lot of talk about that. We're going to talk about it. The most concerning thing for me about this loss is the Dameon Pierce disappearing act in critical moments.
They get you. They get you ticked off again.
I just don't understand it. The reason it's the most concerning is because it's part of the game plan. It's coming from the higher ups. It is a decision that coaches are making, not players that are, you know, there's a pass rush or there's five eligible receivers out and there's a lot of chaos. It's not the game action. It's Polo's on the sideline making decisions. It's on Pep Hamilton, no question about it, but it's a Lovey problem and Lovey's got to fix it.
How about a positive from yesterday?
There is no excuse for in the critical moments in games for you to not have your best player on the field.
That's a rookie mistake.
For you to not have the best player you have on the offensive side of the football with the ball in his hands. The best player on your team that it's easy. You can, with zero risk, turn around and give the ball to him at any point in time. Dameon Pierce not being on the field is the most concerning thing once again.
I want to really emphasize what you're saying.
Okay.
The final eight offensive plays of the game, 20-20 both times, your chance to drive, to try to take the lead. Just need a field goal. And a field goal to go with. Listen, I'll say this about Davis. I've been very honest about Davis. Davis looks better than Justin Fields does right now. Here comes the general. Okay, slow down, champ. He looks better. He looks better. He looks better than Fields. And a field goal with Fields, hell, that might, you know, his unconfident looking self out there throwing the football, that might be enough. Two drives. Two of them. The last eight plays, Dameon Pierce isn't on the field. Rex is on the field, and he is either getting the ball or targeted four out of the eight times. That just to really emphasize what you're saying. Like, they're not just – no, the last eight.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn how many carries he's had. Yeah, 20 after that
really
point.
Even think about you're,
and I'm glad you said that, Clint. I am so glad you said that because I think that is something that we need to establish right now. For whatever reason it is, whether it is the offensive play caller, which is part of it, what is the quarterback, whether it is what we've talked about in the offseason that Brandon Cooks just isn't a guy that is a number one receiver who can just say, hey, I'm going to beat the guy across from me because I'm just better.
You
got to kind of scheme and help stuff. For whatever reason right now, Brandon Cooks is no longer this team's best offensive threat. Their best offensive threat, and it is factual as you watch the game, as you see the numbers. They try to target Brandon Cooks every single week to no avail. Who does have production? It's Dameon Pierce. It's 31. He's your best offensive player. And he ain't on the field the final eight plays, Clint? Who is making that call?
Not only is your best player, Dameon Pierce, not on the field in critical moments, Rex Burkhead is, and Rex Burkhead is your feature back, your feature target. Not just back, feature target because they're throwing it to him too. So it's twofold here. It's not just that Dameon Pierce is not on the field. It's that Rex Burkhead is, and for some reason, all of a sudden, you're targeting your running back. And before everybody gets – I had somebody hit me on social media tell me, oh, well, it's a check down. It's not a target. No, no. In obvious passing situations, as a play caller
– tell him.
As a play caller in obvious passing situations, I know before we ever snap the football one time, I know that odds are that I'm going to take that check down multiple times. I know that odds are – I am going to get soft coverage. They're going to want me to throw it underneath so they can rally up and do what? Tackle the ball carrier. And my best option in those critical moments is Rex Burkhead. It made me sick last night watching a terrible-ass football game in Denver and San Francisco. Oh, both offenses were struggling.
You mean the Rockies won 11-10 against the Giants last night?
But I tell you what, Show, I'm sitting there late in that ball game, and I watched probably two possessions on each side. And I'm watching these quarterbacks check the football down to tailbacks that are then guys I ain't never heard of. But you know what? Them cats are turning around, and yep, they are a hard tackle for an NFL linebacker.
Yep.
They're making guys miss, and they're going and getting 8, 10, 12, 15 yards at times. Hell, I watch A&M this week. We're going to talk about this game later on. But I watch A&M on a 2nd and 30 check this thing down to a little shifty. This was a wide receiver. But, hell, he could be a running back if he wanted to. By the way, prayers up to Nia Smith and the injury and the recovery. But they check the ball down to him. He goes and gets 31 yards. And then I got to turn down and watch the Texans check the football down to Rex Burkhead. And that's not a
– And when you say it's a check down, no. Specifically on the final play, the play that changed the game, the interception, you can clearly see. Snap, he knows that's where he's going.
He's getting through his progression so quickly that the combinations are never unfolding. We're going to get to Davis Mills later on, and I'm going to break down these. I'm going to break down these two interceptions. I'll break them down both for you, and it's pretty interesting. And there's obviously clearly a lot of problems with this football team, but there's just I'm going to be honest with you. There is zero excuse for what's going on from a personnel perspective with Rex Burkhead. Lovey don't need like you can't duck it. He's asked some questions about Rex Burkhead today, and he almost dismissed the questions. Like, you can't duck it, man. Like, this is one that as a football mind you can't ignore. You can't minimize because it's important. To hell with whether you are successful or not, right? You can't completely control whether you're successful on 3rd and 1. You can't completely control whether your last drive in the fourth quarter or either of your last two drives in the fourth quarter are successful and ultimately end in points. What you can control is putting the best. I'm not even saying use the smoke and mirrors, formations, motion shifts. I'm not even asking you to be creative.
Just have him on the field.
I'm asking you to put the best player on the field in the most critical moments of the game. I would rather lose a game to a rookie fumbling a football. I would rather lose a game.
Because that's been the excuse.
I would rather lose a game for a rookie blowing a protection and the quarterback getting the sack fumble. I would rather lose the game to Davis Mills driving the football down the field, making a piss poor read, making a piss poor decision. I would rather lose the football game not converting a fourth and five, not converting a third and one. I would rather lose ball games that way than sit there and watch Rex Burkhead. And I'm not a Rex hater, man. I understand Rex's role, but it's not the way they're using him. Like, I would rather all those things happen than you get real conservative and all of a sudden decide Rex Burkhead is the better option there. It makes zero sense. And if we still have offensive minds in the building at NRG that don't understand that basic principle and don't have the ability to get the best players on the field in critical moments, then they're never going to scheme guys open. They're never going to consistently give you a chance to win ball games. It's frustrating. It makes no sense.
That's the thing.
There's no way to justify it. You can't dismiss it, Lovey. You can't dismiss it, Pep. You can't dismiss these things.
How about a positive from yesterday?
Like, even the basic understanding of football at the high school, college, and NFL level, the fan with the most basic understanding of the game understands that. You cannot run from it or minimize it.
The fumbling thing is not a good enough excuse.
I would rather lose to him fumbling inside the 5-yard
line. And he's got to improve it, all right? But that is not good enough to say, hey, man, because it seemed like he fumbled that second time and they recovered it and they're like, all right, man, we're good. You're good? Like, you can't afford it. He's your best player. He's your best offensive player. Hell, there's an argument when you're throwing the ball, he's your best guy to catch it.
We saw it. He got
10 yards when he should have been tackled.
The last 8 snaps you're talking about, Show.
Unbelievable.
It's an example of everything we've just discussed. He goes down and fumbles, right? He fumbles, goes down, goes out of the game. There's 6 more plays in that drive. Rex Burkhead touched it 3 times. 1 carry, 2 targets. And one of the targets was a swing. I don't know if it's a screen or just a throw, but it looked like a swing screen. The first play he was in the game. It's like Rex Burkhead comes in, boom. Let's swing screen this thing to Rex Burkhead immediately. He becomes the featured target on offense. And none of that is acceptable if you're trying to win ball games or if you're just trying to put a good product out there. It's not, man.
There's no team with the game on the line. Like, Tennessee is not just going to not have Derrick Henry on the field the last 8 plays of the game with the game on the line. I don't care if Derrick fumbled 8 times. Not happening. It doesn't make any sense. I can't believe, because they are smart football people, I cannot believe they don't recognize that. It is just overvaluing the thought of, well, he fumbled, and now I'm concerned to put him in. Whatever it is, I think they understand how good Dameon Pierce is and that he gives them the best situation offensively. But whatever it is keeping them from doing it, because it's not the first time. This is now the second time this year they have done this. Nope, it's the third time. Yep, down the stretch against Denver, he was not in the game either. So this is the third game in a row where their best player, clear best player, has not been in the game. They understand it. I just, whatever it is that's holding them back, it's damn near fireable. I'm just going to be honest. Like, it's a damn near fireable thing where something has to change because that just can't continue to happen.
I agree with you. I mean, it is here's the thing is, and I think everybody's being evaluated at this point in time. If I'm Nick Caserio, I'm sitting at the top and I'm going, okay, you know, there's a day of my week prepping that I'm reviewing last week's game and I'm going, okay. Let's get to the offensive play caller and the decision maker on the offensive side of the football. And if the very basic get my best players on the field, if that box isn't checked, then so is getting players in position to make plays, getting them in position to use their strengths, their skill set to have success. I mean, all of those things are things that are the good offensive coordinators in this league are doing consistently. They're doing it blindfolded. If you don't even have yours on the field, how are you creating mismatches? If you don't even have them on the field, how are you using smoke and mirrors with motions and shifts and formations and things like that to create opportunity? How are you doing it? If Damian Pierce is not on the field, how are you putting the – how are you at this point in time in critical situations I'm talking about? He had one touch, the two interceptions that the Texans got in the plays that followed. He had one touch in the fourth quarter. You said that the last two drives, the last eight plays, he had no touches. I guess if you said the last nine plays, he had one because it's when he fumbled. It just doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. It's just if I'm Nick Cassero, I'm like, okay, what am I up against? I'm up against, when we're talking about playoff caliber teams, I'm up against some monster coordinators from a creativity standpoint. I'm up against some monster quarterbacks from a skill set standpoint. Like, these are all things that have to be in the process of being evaluated.
Yeah, it has to be. All right, listen, we don't normally do this, but our girl Tony, she's distraught, and she needs help. Tony, I'll let you jump in. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Oh, my God, I was sitting up here talking to myself so I could say I'd practice in my speech. Let me tell y'all something. That game was atrocious. Okay, I'm going to say that. And another thing, like I told Tyler, everybody might say what they want to say about Deshaun Watson, but I bet you missed the well when the water runs dry, because I would have turned over Phipps if I was Cal to get him to stay, whatever I had to do. Because now we look a mess. Did y'all dump me?
No, we didn't dump you. Go ahead, Tony.
Okay. We look a mess right now. And here's the deal. Davis Mills, boo. Damian Pierce, yay. Rex Burkhead, what the hell is that? It just don't make no sense that we going through what we going through. And I am just so, oh, my God. Can you hear it in my voice?
I can hear it, Tony.
I am just, oh, my God. This don't make no sense.
Okay, yeah.
That we going through what we going through. And so I just wanted to say that I feel like, oh, my God. We got to get it together. But you know what? Oh, this is another thing I want to say. They talking about Davis Mills need a couple of years. It took Deshaun Watson 30 minutes. And they pulled Tom Savage off the field, and he was on ever since.
I hear you. I appreciate the call, Tony. I do. I hear the passion. I hear the distraught in your voice. But Deshaun wouldn't help you yesterday either, because he wouldn't be on the field.
So, I mean, you'd be
still in a I understand what you're saying, but Deshaun wouldn't be playing right now like he's not in Cleveland. Although you'd wish you were getting similar quarterback play that they are getting right now, but he doesn't help you right now. A lot of it is still the same thing that was an issue before Deshaun, in maybe just a different way, and that is organizationally and decisions they're making even up top, Clint. So, I mean, it's a frustrating thing, and I can understand.
Yeah, no, look, it's my biggest issue is with the polos on the sideline, the decisions that are being made before the game, during the game, by guys that are paid handsomely to make those decisions.
And Clint, these are the same thing you were saying to me when I arrived here.
Yeah.
Polos on the side.
Yeah. I mean, I ain't used that in a long time, but now here we are, week three, right? Now, we can get some football stuff, show. We can get some football stuff if you want. I mean, I don't know what else you got, but we can get some football stuff and break down the actual action and see if we can figure that out too.
Hey, speaking of not just us, want to take a deeper dive into the Texans' loss to the Bears, check out the newest episode of the Hutopia podcast with Sean Pendergast and John McClain. It's on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast. All right, Davis Mills, that's another thought this week. Wait till you hear what Clint thought. Might surprise you about his play yesterday. We'll discuss that next.
I'm a part of the Mills Mafia, too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
At the 26-yard line, 3rd and 1, Mills in the gut. Here's the snap to Davis, looking. Davis firing, and it's intercepted. Roquan Smith, 20-15, tripped up at the 11-yard line by Mills, and the Bears have it at the red zone.
That was the critical play in the game that led to the Bears defeating the Texans yesterday 23-20. It looked like, at worst, maybe they'd be heading to another 20-20 tie. But the mistake made there by Davis Mills late in the fourth quarter as his struggles continue in that quarter. I want to get your thoughts on what you watched from Davis Mills. I want you to hear Lovie Smith first. The head coach, he spoke today. He spoke to the media today and was talking about the progress Davis Mills is making.
I mean, we haven't made enough progress to win football games right now. But I thought Davis was, you take away the interceptions. I know we can't do that, but I thought his pocket presence was a lot better yesterday. He threw some good passes, a couple to Nico throughout. I thought he threw, better passes yesterday than he did the previous week. So there is small progress being made throughout with all of the players, and of course he's a base part of that. It's hard to talk about progress when you finish the way we did, though.
All right, that was Lovie Smith talking about his quarterback, Davis Mills. Here comes the general. Okay, and his self-claimed vote for captain. What did you think about Davis yesterday?
I thought Davis improved in a big way from the first 2 weeks of the season.
In a big way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he improved in a big way. There were several plays where he bought time, kind of floated in the pocket a bit, bought a little time, extend the clock, extend the play and found a target. I thought a couple of throws to Jordan Akins were big time. I thought the throw to Philip Dorsett on the sideline was big time. I thought the throw to I've been waiting on this, the throw to Brandon Cooks in the seam of a zone coverage that Brandon Cooks dropped. That is exactly what I've been asking for from Davis Mills. And so, I thought the first interception, it's easy to look at the screen. It's easy to be a coach and say that, you can't make throw that interception. I disagree that Pharaoh Brown gets jammed at the line of scrimmage, so he has to hold the football. And like, there's no progression here. It was a double pick route to Brandon Cooks coming underneath. We've seen him run that play 15 times. Brandon Cooks comes underneath the first pick route. Pharaoh Brown got jammed at the line of scrimmage, so Brandon Cooks ends up going over the top of him. So if you wonder why Davis Mills pumped it, was because Pharaoh Brown was in his throwing lane. And so that delay allowed the defensive back to regain the underneath technique and make up the little bit of separation that Brandon Cooks had created. But there's nowhere that's either, if you're going to work the right side of the field, it's a pick route. You're throwing the pick route, and when it's all said and done, the DB made a phenomenal play sticking his hand in there. But throwing the football somewhere else, I guess he could have realized all that in a split second and thrown it away. But I don't look at that and ask Davis Mills to do anything else. He could have pre-snapped through the go route to the left side to Nico Collins, the fade. We can chop up whether he should throw the fade or not, and why he's not making that decision and why he's not confident in that. But ultimately, there's no doubt about it that once he decided to work the right side of the field, the look told him to go there. He got press man across the board on three receivers. Your outside receivers running an inside route. The other two are picking for him, and they didn't execute it. And once you work that direction, you're going to Brandon Cooks no matter what. And so I'll say that interception was not something that you necessarily give him a negative for. So I thought he improved in a big way compared to what we saw earlier in the game. And then we get to the last drive. This is where Davis Mills is at this point is I said it was the biggest problem that I had with him last week, was how he looked in crunch time and how he played in crunch time. And it happened again yesterday with the interceptions, a tip ball. We can all go, oh, it's a tip ball, no big deal. Well, if you watch the play, the backers did not bail immediately. In fact, the backer that intercepted the football, Roquan Smith, he maybe took three back pedal steps and leveled off. And there is a – it's a wrap concept ultimately, but there is a – what you're wanting to happen is Roquan Smith to jump Rex Burkhead, and then that in route or that little wrap route to come right around the back of him, and you hit him in the window between the linebackers. That play could not have unfolded. And I don't care if that was the backside of a progression. You're getting back to it. That play could not have unfolded any better for a quarterback. You could not have asked for it to unfold any better. The in route is a 15-plus yard gain, and you are in business, Bub, in a critical moment. You're in business. Instead, you're targeting Rex Burkhead again in a critical moment in a pass game, and you get a tipped interception. So I thought he did a lot of things that we've discussed on this show, quarterback-specific things, significantly better throughout the game. But in that crunch moment, once again, happy feet, get to the progression too quick, try to play on schedule. You know, I mean, I'm 100% on schedule in this moment to the point where you leave a big-time gain on the field and you throw an interception in the process of targeting Rex Burkhead. That's the biggest concern last week for me with Davis Mills. All the other stuff got significantly better, but what happened? At the end of the day, the same old, you can't be a franchise quarterback. You can't be a starting quarterback in this league if in the biggest moments you shrink.
Yeah, I saw minimal steps. I'll acknowledge what you said. There was a couple of throws in there. And Davis will do this from time to time. We'll have a couple of throws in there. The throw on the sideline you talked about to Dorsett, there was a third down in the second half where he waited and waited and bought some time and hit Farrell Brown up the middle of the field. I thought there were some good things. I thought with some of those throws to Nico, we were starting to see some confidence, right, moving the ball. But, hell, even when he is doing some things, all right, he makes critical errors. And I'm going to disagree with you on that. He threw two interceptions in spaces you can't do it. Especially in that game. You cannot throw red zone interceptions. Can't do it. Especially in that game for a team that is struggling. And, yes, Farrell, you showed me the tape. Farrell did get his ass kicked and kind of mess with the route. But he still tried to fit it in with three defenders surrounding there. To the smallest guy on the field in Brandon Cooks. You got to throw that away. You got to say, I got to come away with points here. You cannot throw that. And Roquan Smith was breaking it. I hate what he said. He said Rex was open. Just got tipped. No, he wasn't open. Even if he caught it, it was going to be a 3-4 yard gain. He was not open. All right? You're targeting Rex before the snap. You can't have a mistake right there. Like, your conservative nature is not even looking at your number one receiver, as Clint just explained it, coming wide open. You're looking at what we believe is his number one receiver, which is Rex. You cannot have those interceptions. We said Friday, he could probably play the games that he's played the first 2 weeks, and they could go in here and lose. The big issues in this game, beside the running game, but the big issue or the ability of the Bears to run were his turnovers. Turnover in red zone, at least 3 points you take away, and then, bam, at the end of the game, they won it that way. Can't turn the ball over in the red zone, and you damn sure late can't turn the ball over as you're giving them the easiest thing they could get. So there was some throws down the field, but I don't know, Clint, man. I just – those turnovers killed you. Even when he plays better, he still was a major reason why you lost this game. And I don't know. I think there should be at least some conversations. I mean, we got somebody on the line saying that he believes Mills can still be a franchise quarterback. I mean, I'm
not sure how you get there.
I damn sure can't wait to hear what Matt's got to say with that. But listen, I don't know, man. 713-572-416. Did you feel better about what you saw from Davis Mills yesterday? There's a few things that happened around the league, Clint. That hell, maybe we could have happened here to make us feel better. Some coaches went off last week. Maybe there's some coaches here that should be going off. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, Reaction Monday as the Texans, they take an L this time. What are they? 0-2-1.
0-2-1. No longer leading the division.
Yeah, that's right. Not only that, first place.
How about a positive from yesterday?
That's the first place. That's right, Dan. Some positives. We got some here. All right, on Reaction Monday, we'll let some of the folks react. I'll let Matt jump in here because I am really intrigued to hear this. Matt, we were just talking about Davis Mills and his performance. Clint said he saw some positive things, and there were some things, but I'm still concerned with, you know, the two picks that I think ultimately were mistakes that hurt them a lot. What's your thoughts?
Hi, I just want to say I'm very honored to be on the station with you guys. I listen a lot, and I'm a big fan. I still do think that, honestly, I'm a Broncos fan, so I really don't care. But I do think Davis Mills has the potential to be a franchise quarterback in the NFL.
What? I just went, why?
I mean, just last season, he had the highest red zone passer rating of all quarterbacks at 116.8. He set franchise rookie records with a 66.8% completion percentage and a franchise rookie record of about 2,600 passing yards.
Who can you name for me real quick, Matt, other franchise quarterbacks? Just name a couple franchise quarterbacks that come to your mind.
Well, yeah, like Justin Herbert.
Okay.
Pat Mahomes.
Okay. All right. So when you think, when you see those, when you say those names, and you think that he can be a franchise quarterback,
I think players are put around him like Justin Jefferson has and Patrick Mahomes has, yes, he can be.
Okay. All right, Matt. I appreciate the call. I don't know how you get there. I don't know how you watch. I mean, hell, you might want to start checking those numbers again. Like we're those numbers. None now is numbers. There aren't even numbers that can even fit the narrative of a franchise quarterback. Like,
yeah,
that's just a tough one.
I mean, it's a tough place to get to. Matt may want to start with when that conversation's had. When you're asked about franchise quarterbacks, you might want to go the Brady, Drew Brees, the Mac Jones if he's going to be a franchise quarterback. The Matt Ryan, you know, go that route. Don't name the two.
Not your quarterback, Russ.
The freakish arm talent and one of the most freakish athletes, you know, that we've seen. So you're gonna have a hard time convincing anybody that. That's for damn sure. And you know, there's not been anything this year, even remotely close to get us any closer to, or get Davis Mills any closer to being, hell, the franchise, a starter beyond this year with the Texans. I mean, there has been regression in a big, big way. And for two of the three games, I'd say regression just across the board. I'm not talking about whether he's a franchise player or not. I'm just talking about his progression, whether it's good enough or not is irrelevant, but his progression, he regressed the first 2 weeks. I would say this past week, he was better than the first 2 weeks, but it was nothing to blow your skirt up. And the biggest concern, once again, in the fourth quarter, which all franchise quarterbacks have to have the ability, regardless of what their skill set is or how they play the position, whether they're athletic or not, whether they're freakish arm talents or not, whether they're high-level processors or not, you have to be able to put your team in position to win ball games in critical moments. You have to produce in the four or five big moments in every game. In some games, it's 10 big moments. But you got to be able to produce in at least four or five big moments, and Davis Mills has not been able to do that. And you see, when you don't have a quarterback that can do, there's a lot going on in Houston. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot going on in Houston. But I firmly believe if the quarterback would have just been average in critical moments over the first 3 weeks, this team would be sitting at 2-1, if not 3-0. I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that this team would have more than one victory right now if the quarterback just played big in big moments.
That could be first place in their division.
Yes, I would say 2-1 would not be a stretch. I don't think that's a stretch. Now, we're speculating because things change when you score points and things change when you're aggressive versus being conservative, yada, yada, yada. But I just, AAB, what's good? I just firmly believe that the reason this team right now is 0-2-1 is several reasons, but a big time contributing factor is the quarterback not playing big in big moments. You can throw an interception here or there. You can miss throws from here or there. You can not be spot on throughout a season for a couple of games and still have a chance to win those ball games. We've seen three of them come and go, and he wasn't good enough to win those ball games, and he didn't have to be anything but average. Mm. And so I don't know. I just my biggest concern with Davis Mills, hell, my biggest concern with Davis Mills over the next 14 games, is those big moments, you know. And now, after hearing some of the audio that In the Loop played, I mean, now hearing, you know, Davis Mills saying, "Man, I think we played well," and you know, Lovie Smith, you know, saying, you know, talking about Davis Mills and not acknowledging some of the issues, that whole deal just really doesn't sit well with me.
No, it doesn't. And yeah, as you said, franchise, hell, we got to get to starting. We got to get to a guy that is a bona fide starting quarterback.
Yeah,
in the league.
Play the quarterback position well enough that when three straight teams are trying to hand deliver you a victory, literally they're all trying to just hand it to you. Play the position well enough to where you win those ball games. Forget the ball games against the Chargers and the Chiefs and the Broncos when they're right, when they're gonna get this thing on track eventually, and they're gonna be a lot better. You had a chance to beat a good football team, which is gonna end up being a good football team, and just play quarterback well enough to where when teams try to hand you a victory, the team can go get that dub, and you're 0-3.
Yep. And be average, and that would have gotten that
dub. Yep.
All right, as we are reacting here, Clint, yesterday, two of the biggest things that was talked about seeing in the NFL was Ken Dorsey losing his absolute mind. Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know Ken had that in him. I remember Ken Dorsey at Miami.
I didn't know he had that in him either.
I mean, if you have not seen the video, Ken Dorsey just loses it. And then the other coaches around him, they just sit stoic and just sit there. But I didn't know he had that in him.
Yep.
And he lost his mind. Another thing is that's going to be talked about and has been talked about is Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes at the end of the half, going back and forth about the decision made as if it was Eric Bieniemy's decision to run the ball at the end of and run the clock out. But those, the offensive coordinators on, you could argue, the two best teams in football, even though they both lost yesterday. I mean, you can see the level of emotion coming out of those guys. Come on, Pep. I need something. I need somebody on this. Like, the way they have lost these games, I wouldn't mind seeing Pep just take all of his stuff off and just launch it.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know how he's sitting there.
I don't know how you don't. And look, here's the thing is, I'm not.
It probably starts when you have Dameon Pierce out of the game for the last eight plays and you know it.
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, there's just a level of acceptance. That's what pisses me off is, since I've been covering
this
football team,
that's a good way to use it.
There's been some major mistakes made by players, unacceptable mistakes made by players, and not once have we seen a coach even show any kind of emotion or frustration on the sideline. I'm not the guy that looks at Ken Dorsey and goes, "Oh boy, he looks like a kid throwing a temper tantrum." I get the tie there, but
my Lord, I've been.
But I love it. Look, I always get back.
That's
look.
Exactly what I thought Tyler was going to look like if Arkansas continued to win that game. It was 14-0.
Hey, I got a little cousin show, and that little son buck, I'm watching him play basketball a couple months ago, and he's got a problem of showing his emotions in like a major way. Games on the line. He's already folded up a couple times because he missed a bucket or didn't, you know, turn the ball over. Games on the line, ref blows a whistle. And I look up, and the foul's on him. And he's going to the free throw line with a chance to tie and win the ball game with two free throws. And he's young. He's super young. So the odds of him making it are slim to none, right? And in my mind, I'm going, my man's going to lose it. At the free throw line, all the eyes are on him.
Are you thinking about your nephew, or are you thinking about my son?
No. So you've been there before. But he throws this ball up there, show. And now they're only down one. He throws his ball up to them little fellas. They, hell, they just lucky to hit the rim. Well, it bangs around there, doesn't go in. And he does a full-out sumo squat to the ground, covers the head. I mean, he is madder than a hornet and ends up missing this. Anyway, long story short is, you know, a lot of people are like, what's wrong with him? The hell's going on? Like, man, I'd whoop his head. No. No, give me one that cares so much he'll cry in front of folks. Give me one that cares. Now, I'm not saying he needs to work on this now. Needs to get it together. Needs to get it together and needs to figure it out and understand sports is not always going to go your way. But give me the guy that cares so much that he can't control his damn emotions. And it looked like Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator, the old quarterback from the U, national championship quarterback,
yeah,
I believe.
Know. I didn't know he had that.
I mean, he went absolute, berserk after the last play of the Bills game where they didn't get out of bounds, they didn't convert. I'm A-OK. Grown man, kid, it don't matter to me. If you care so much that you just have an emotional outburst, however it is you shape an emotional outburst, hell, it tells me you care, and I can ride with you. I can ride with you. Now, you, as Lil Show's dad, you got a different job. You got to figure out how to get him to get it together a little bit.
It's a little too much, but we're working on it.
But
he damn sure cares.
Yeah, I mean, here's
the deal. But I just don't know. I don't know how Pep and him just sit over there.
I don't know.
Just sitting over there with the end of the games like this.
Yeah.
Like, I would not mind if Pep just launched his headphones. Just launched the
Here's the deal. Like, how do you not meet Damian Pierce on the numbers after that fumble?
Just
make it loud and clear, and then go, now get your ass back out there. We're finna hand it back to you. Yeah. I mean, that, something like that. I'm not saying you got to demean everybody. I'm just saying, like, some kind of emotion would be beautiful out of anybody.
No.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.